Our reading for this morning is taken from our Lord's Passion history from Matthew chapter 26. And our Lord here is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples the night he prays before he is about to be arrested and crucified the next morning. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Last week, you may have seen the news report of a man who was caught robbing, I believe it was a bank, and he came in, an armed robbery, to the area around one of the tellers and had her, in essence, as a hostage before him. The security camera caught him then talking to her and finally dropping to his knees in repentance. In subsequent interviews that were done with this man, now in jail, it was discovered this wasn't the first time that he had done this, but his Christian faith was the very thing that caused him to have a change of heart during that robbery that night. And yet he also confessed that he had been involved in numerous other robberies beforehand. A monk by the name of John Staupitz, who was kind of one of Luther's great father confessors and provided a lot of comfort to Dr. Martin Luther, John Staupitz once wrote this: "More than 1,000 times I have vowed to God that I would improve, but I have never performed what I have vowed." Do you find yourself doing that as a Christian, that there are things that you recognize in yourself that clearly are not in line with the Word of God and the will of God? Your heart knows it, your own conscience knows it, but you just can't get yourself to change. And you promise God that you're going to change. You tell him that over and over again, "I'm not going to do this again, Lord." And yet, you keep getting dragged back into it. I'm sure the disciples of Jesus, as we see them in our text, were very upset with themselves to hear Jesus chastise them this way. It's interesting Greek here. Jesus says, "What? What are you doing? I can't believe I'm finding you like this again." "What?" he says. "Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" And I'm sure they beat themselves up after that inside. How could we let this happen? Why did we let this happen again? How could I do this? Just hours earlier, they had been sitting with Christ and being given the blessed sacrament of his very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. They had heard him talking about his upcoming arrest and crucifixion and his resurrection. They knew that this was a significant night. Christ takes them to this special garden to go and pray. They had just had a devotion with him. They had just sung a hymn before going out to the Mount of Olives. And now, they're so weak that they just can't even stay awake. Not long before this, Peter had said to Jesus, because Christ had warned him and them about their falling away, and Peter boldly had said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never fall away." And yet here he was, he couldn't even stay awake to watch with Christ for that hour. Jesus speaks here about the weakness of his disciples' sinful flesh. And that's not just his immediate 12 or 11 in this case, but also for all of those who follow him. And how quickly and how easily our sinful flesh gets the better of us and drags us down. How often do we find ourselves kind of spiritually grabbing ourselves by the throat after we've done or said something wrong and said to ourselves, "Why did I do that? Is that the way a Christian is supposed to act? Is that how a Christian is supposed to live? I'm supposed to love my Savior, my shepherd who gave his life for me. And he says, 'My sheep hear my voice.' Well, I'm sure not following his voice very well. Am I even a Christian at all?" St. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said this: "The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The word he uses there for conflict, the very thing that Christ is describing in his own disciples, that word for conflict that he uses is actually the similar type of word that you would use to describe two men armed with swords in a duel to the death, trying to destroy each other. This is the struggle that goes on inside of every Christian. The struggle between knowing what God wants and what Christ would have us do and say and believe, and what our sinful flesh, our old Adam, wants to continue doing. And there are times that the tension in this can get so fierce that it can make it hard to want to stay in the faith. It can make us question whether we even have faith. But the great irony is this, that this pain and tension and struggle that goes on inside of the heart and life and mind and conscience of a Christian is just the opposite. It's actually an indication of faith in Christ. It might be faith that needs strengthening, but it's an indication of that faith. A commentator by the name of J.P. Kaler says this: "The warfare is a sign that one is a Christian. Where this warfare does not exist, we must assume that the man has not as yet been regenerated." It's comforting for us to recognize in our text that Christ acknowledges this tension in his disciples and that he still considers them part of his flock, weak as they may be. It's comforting to us that God the Holy Spirit made sure to include in the scriptures, in all of the great stories about the patriarchs, he always makes sure to include some story about their weakness and their frailty and their sinful condition that dragged them back into a temptation and falling into sin. And this has been done by the Holy Spirit and spotlighted here by Christ, not for us to emulate their sin, not for us to be able to say, well, see, everybody sins, I guess it's okay. That's not the point. Far be it from that. The point that Christ and the Holy Spirit makes in Scripture by demonstrating this is that all of those who belong to the kingdom of Christ are saved purely by his grace, by his grace alone, and must depend alone on the forgiveness of sins that our Lord goes to win for us on the cross. But when you no longer feel this tension between the old Adam and the new man, that's when you should be worried. One of my seminary professors used to often quote the line, "Be careful not to paint a false picture of a Christian as if he never sins." And how true that is. But now that we've been brought into the light of the gospel, now that we've been brought to know what Christ has done for us, and now that we've been brought to understand it's purely by his grace that we get to heaven, to see what God's word so clearly says in defining sin, that bright light of the gospel also shows the shadows of the darkness that's still in us all the more. It shows the contrast that's in us all the more. And oftentimes, the more deeply we study the scriptures, the more aware we become of our sinfulness and of this weakness that's inside of all of us. But this spiritual understanding, this knowledge of the tension and acknowledgement of that and the real issue of dealing with that and struggling with that is a vital sign of faith. This is life under the cross for the believer. Living with an awareness of your sin and being uncomfortable with it is healthy. Walther, Dr. C.F.W. Walther, once used the illustration I always like. He said that the Christian, and think of when Walther lived in the late 1800s, right at the time of the battle of the Civil War over slavery. And he used to use the imagery. He said, "It's the Christian is like a man who's been sold into slavery to a master that he despises and hates. And even though he obeys him, nevertheless, it bothers him inside that he has to do this." And Walther said, this is how it is for the Christian who loves Christ, but at the same time lives at times under the mastery of his sinful flesh. And it bothers him, it irritates him to live under that tyranny. And even though at times he falls to what his sinful flesh calls him and tells him to do, He hates it at the same time through repentance. Our Lord Jesus says to his disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't think that your spiritual life is so taken care of you don't need to be worried and concerned about the assaults and temptations of the devil. Watch. But then also pray. Seek help, guidance, strength, and direction outside of yourself from the Lord and from His Word. You will never find the strength inside of yourself to conquer sin. Your strength is to be found in Christ alone and in His saving Word. As St. Paul says, He has become for us our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You will never find the peace inside of yourself, but the peace that Christ directs us to is to be found in Him alone. As Paul says to the Romans, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I consider a text like this, I often think to myself how wonderful it's going to be to get to heaven and to get to know my family members and other people that I've known in this life without sin in them. Won't that be interesting? To actually know some of our classmates and professors without that sinful evil in us that still lurks in us in this life, that'll all be gone. And even more than that, how fun and exciting and wonderful it's going to be to get to know you yourself, without that sin. Live for that day, and the present tension that we live with now will be well worth it. Amen. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.